The 2023 WNBA regular season tips off tonight. We've got everything you need to know right here on Hoop Talks. Hey, 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 welcome into Hoop Talks. I'm Karina Mustafa, joined by Jelani Goodridge-Reed.
What's up?
Vibes are good.
They are.
The WNBA is back. I'm very excited. We've got four games tonight to open up. I'll see if I'm still awake by the last one.
But you better be.
I'll try. But Jelani's going to hold me accountable. But we've got four matchups tonight. We're going to break them all down, kind of what we're expecting, what are the kind of the vibes heading. Opening night is always kind of funky, so like we'll see how it goes. But I'm excited. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. I'm going to be watching for sure. I know that there's NBA playoffs on, but I still got the laptop. So I'll have the laptop.
Exactly.
I'll have the TV going. So yeah, I'll be good. We'll be good. A lot of basketball tonight.
That's the good thing about WNBA League Pass, because then you could just watch like multiple games at one time. So it's great. But first matchup of the night is going to be the Connecticut Sun and the Indiana Fever at 7 p.m. Eastern. Aliyah Boston, the number one draft pick. She's going to make her debut, her regular season debut with the Fever tonight. Jelani, like, how excited should we be for that? Do you expect, like, obviously she's coming from South Carolina, where she had a very, very good tenure with the Gamecocks, had a national championship, won player of the year, all of that. Now she's, like, in the W. Do you expect her dominance on like the in the paint and on the glass to like continue?
Well, it's gonna be tough. Okay,
yeah.
This is the pros now. All right, it's not the same people you're playing against in the collegiate level. But when we saw her get to South Carolina, she was immediately a difference maker, and I think that's what's gonna happen in Indiana. The Fever, they haven't been in the playoffs in a long time. Okay, 2016, so it's been a minute, right? But I see a new culture now. I think the Fever, a lot of people are saying, you know what, they might not be a title contender at all this season, but they're going to make some noise, and it's because of her. I really think that Boston is going to come in and be a really dynamic player. She's obviously the favorite for Rookie of the Year. That's what a lot of people believe will happen. But yeah, I think the game plan that the other teams are going to, you know, they're going to have to key in on her, because we see what you talked about, right? Inside, she is a menace, all right? She could rebound the basketball, scorer, and defense. So that's why she's such a great prospect. But yeah, I think it's going to take some time, because the adjustment, right, going to the pros.
Especially the team that they're facing against tonight, the Connecticut Sun. I mean, you look at this roster, they have Breonna Jones, they have Alyssa Thomas, they have Dawana Bonner. That is no easy task to play. I feel like this is going to be like the wake-up call. Like, this is your welcome to the W moment tonight for Aliyah Boston. But I'm so excited, because I think she's absolutely going to thrive. I know a lot of like people have the Fever not making the playoffs this year, because that's kind of in the track record.
Do you think so? Do you think they can make it?
I don't know. I just have this feeling that they're either going to like lose a bunch of games really closely and like be like, we almost could have won
those.
And
be entertaining in those matchups.
Exactly. Like, they won't be like blowout losses.
Yeah.
Or they're going to actually win those games.
I'm going to go with the first option. I think they're going to be competitive, but I don't see it right now. But soon. Probably in the next, give them a couple years.
Yeah, maybe even after like next year's draft class, which is going to be extremely deep. That'll be important too. Like, which team's going to be like, maybe we should lose, like just by a little bit.
We'll see what happens down the stretch of the season. But there are going to be teams that are like, you know what, the class coming up is going to be different. So maybe we take a step back. You know what I mean? So that might be Indiana, might not be, right? Because they might make a playoff push. You never know.
Yeah, so we'll see. But all the games tonight, by the way, I should quickly mention, they are on WNBA League Pass in Canada. So if you haven't purchased that one yet, go do it. It's only like $25. So it's a great deal. But moving on to the next matchup, the New York Liberty and the Washington Mystics.
Your team.
New York, stand up. Look at them. They're beautiful.
Shout out Brooklyn.
But this is a very interesting one. This is like the opening night matchup because these are two of the top three contenders in the league right now. I'd say we talked about like last week how the Mystics are kind of a sneaky pick, and it seems like the New York Liberty officially have like a pretty clean injury report. There was some concern earlier whether like Courtney Vandersloot would play, whether Jonquel Jones would play, but they're ready to go for tonight. So we might see like what an almost full Liberty team would look like against the Mystics. What are you expecting tonight?
Well, you see with this super team thing, right? Sometimes you'll see them start really hot. We see this in multiple sports. You might see them start, you know, firing on all cylinders because you got so much talent there. But at the same time, there's a prospect. There's still a possibility that, with given all the talent that you have, you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to see how they mesh, see how they fit, right? What systems should be put in place given all the talent that's coming in, right? So I think it's going to be a slower start, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be shocked if they start off, you know, winning games left and right, but just looking at the system, seeing how they're going to fit moving forward, because you're bringing in the best of the best, right? So I want to see how that's going to work. I think it's going to be smooth sailing down the line this season, but just because it's going to be, you know, it's a new scenery for multiple players on that squad now. And look, I love it though. I love that New York, look, this is the biggest city, right? You got the biggest names. I truly believe this is good for the W. And we've seen super teams before in the past, right? With the Comets a long time ago. That was a super team. You might look at Detroit when they were up.
Even the Minnesota Lynx.
I was going to say that too, but that the difference there, that was more of draft, right? Mm-hmm. That was through the draft. The Mercury, you wouldn't say that they were a super team, but the way that they got Griner, right? They had a year off with Diana taking that year off, they got in. So this is multiple superstars coming together. I want to see how this is going to work. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I think for me also the Liberty, like, staying healthy is going to be one of their, like, biggest X factors for the season, because already at the beginning of training camp, I was nervous with Courtney Vandersloot heading into concussion protocol, and even, like, Jonquil was struggling with something. But hopefully, as long as they all stay healthy and they spend some time together on the court, I think their offense is going to be amazing. And I'm excited for their defense with, like, Stewie obviously being former defensive player of the year, Jonquil Jones. Like, it's just, yeah, amazing. But I can't wait for that. So that's must watch. That's also at 7 p.m. So it's, like, kind of battling with the Fever matchup. So we'll see, like,
I might lean towards this one. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. just because I want to see how they're going to play. And Washington, that's the team I think is really, you know, a contender. I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked if they do it all. Yeah. Because Deladon, if she's healthy, she had a nice off season, or she's back. If she can play the way we know she can play, and remember, they have multiple players on that squad that were there in 2019. Mm-hmm. Championship experience, very important.
Very, very true. All right, I'm excited for that one. You can tell Jelani's excited for that one too. And then moving on to the third matchup of the night, which is actually a rematch of last week's Canada game, which is kind of convenient in a way. Chicago Sky versus Minnesota Lynx. As you guys might recall, the Chicago Sky did take the win in Toronto last week at Scotiabank Arena. Do you think that Minnesota kind of takes from that experience and figures out how to win at home now?
I do. So. So if that's going to be my pick, I think the Lynx get it done tonight. Player I'm looking at, obviously, Diamond Miller, right? Because Maryland, she was fantastic. 20 points per game. And she also did it rebounding with 6 per game. And then you're looking at how she also was good in terms of assists. So she's a playmaker. The Lynx need that, right? Because when you're looking across the board, they've been one of the more, you know, one of the better teams over the last decade, but now they're in a new era, and she's going to have to be one of those faces. They're a lot younger than they used to be. So with her, I think they're going to have a new element, a new dynamic. And tonight, I want to see how she performs, because this is going to be her debut in the regular season. We did see her obviously in that Canada game, just trying to I think everyone was trying to feel it out. It was a feel out process. It was so hyped, the nerves were there early too.
They'd never experienced Scotiabank Arena before.
And it was packed, it was sold out. So I think though tonight you're gonna have to see how she looks against the, you know, against the pros. She's already played them, like I said, in the preseason, but this is different, regular season now.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, they both teams, Chicago and Minnesota, they made some uncomfortable cuts to their roster this week, like including, like, for the Chicago Sky, they cut Kayana Taylor, who I really thought was going to be a lock for this squad. She absolutely performed in front of Scotiabank Arena, and I thought Coach James Wade, I know, James Wade spoke very highly of her. So yeah, I'm hoping she'll end up on a roster. I think there's no doubt about that. And I think, like, teams also have the option to bring back players during the season on, like, hardship contracts. Like, they have different rules. So, like, don't fret. If your favorite player or, like, one of your faves got cut this week, don't be scared, because, like, there is a chance that the team could still bring them back. So, that's going to be exciting. But moving on to the last matchup, the Phoenix Mercury, the LA Sparks. We know Brittany Griner is returning to the court in regular season for the first time in over a year since her wrongful detainment. Real quick, before I tee up the video, how much does it mean for her to be back in the W?
I think it's fantastic, right? Because we were waiting for her to come back for so long. You even saw the support with the NBA guys as well. I really think once they start playing, she's going to get back in form. It's going to be a minute because when last time we did see her, All-Star, of course, she was doing her thing. But I think it's going to take some time just for her to get back in that form. But she will be back. And I'm happy that she's here. Even the thing with this whole thing is I look between the lines and how the W, to me, out of all the leagues, I think this is the league where they don't care what you got to say. They will stand up for whatever it is. Because this is a league led by Black women, LGBTQ sort of thing, people from just different walks of life. So I think they've always been able, you know, W players have always been able to speak up. And that's what I like about this league. So that's why I'm glad she's back.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about the sisterhood and they're going to face the LA Sparks. And speaking of sisterhood, they did put together this lovely video from the W and the Sparks together to say welcome back to BG.
BG is back. What I love about having BG back on the floor is that basketball is her safe space. Growing up in Houston, Texas, together alongside my sister, we've followed her careers closely. We've supported each other. And just to have her back, it just means the world to us.
Welcome back, BG. One part of BG's game that I wish I had was definitely her capability to dunk at any point in time.
Welcome back, BG.
What I'm most looking forward to about having BG back on the floor is her dominance in the paint and making everybody else rise up their level of play. We definitely miss her.
Welcome back, BG.
There wasn't a day that went by that I didn't think about her and pray for her and just her mental health and her well-being. So to see her back on the court right now and just to be able to physically like see her is gonna be, I don't think words will describe the feeling, but I'm looking forward most to just giving her a nice hug.
BG is back.
All right, so we saw that the tip-off is kind of late. It's 11 p.m. Eastern for us here on the East Side.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be a matchup that we're all going to be up to watch just to see her back on the court, what it means. I think, you know, it's going to be an exciting night of hoops.
Oh, for sure.
I'm very excited, but the Sparks and the Mercury are two teams that I actually like, not to take away from like what we just talked about, I think these are two teams that don't make the playoffs this year.
I was gonna ask you what are your thoughts on Phoenix specifically, right?
Listen, any team like that has Brittany Griner on it, that has, like, you know, as you can see in the back, like Breonna Turner, Sophie Cunningham, Diana Taurasi, automatically they are in some sort of contention. My concern is mostly that Skylar Diggins-Smith is still on maternity leave. We don't know when she's coming back. We don't know what the squad really looks like. So I'm a little bit iffy to put them in the top eight.
That's your general, floor general right there. And
she played like the best guard in the league last year, and I'm like very firmly on that.
I'm a big fan of hers, and yeah, without her, it's gonna be a different look, right? A different feel. So maybe, because I was wondering, are they on the outside looking in this season, right? So maybe, okay. Karina says they might not make it. I trust her word on this one for sure.
And then also the Sparks, I think they also didn't make the playoffs last year. They're just kind of figuring things out right now.
Yeah, I don't know their direction.
They don't really have like an identity where like you're really sure about their direction. Obviously, we have the Gumeke sisters back together, which I think was the biggest thing they needed to check off in the offseason. Make sure you bring back both of them, because I think it would have been even worse if they let any of them slip away. But I always love seeing them play together, and well, I'll stay up. I'll stay up for this matchup.
Sometimes the West Coast does not care about the East Coast.
Yeah.
We've seen it with the times, but I'll be watching. Mm-hmm. We will be there.
We'll be watching. Yeah. Also, I did want to mention this matchup will also be on ESPN in the States, which is huge. Yeah. I think the Mercury have quite a bit of games on ESPN following the next few days. So make sure to tune into ESPN if you're in the States. League Pass if you're in Canada. It's WNBA opening night. We're so excited. I've been Krina with Jelani, and this has been Hoop Talks.
Is Nick Nurse set to take the job with one of the Raptors' biggest rivals? The Portland Trailblazers are apparently open for business with a third overall selection. What does that mean for the Toronto Raptors? And is it time the NBA implements veteran leadership in every locker room? This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Hoop Talks, Justin Pooney, Karina Mustafa, Jelani Goodridge Reed.
Yeah, I know it's a tongue twister.
Oh, that,
I messed it up. Sometimes.
Actually, I just finished eating lunch right now, so like.
Oh, what'd you have?
Pita wrap.
Okay.
Yeah, with little fries, some chicken in there, some onions, nice can of Sprite to wash it down.
Nice.
Yeah.
Quench the thirst.
What's wrong? You okay?
Some tantalizing content.
Yeah, speaking of tantalizing content, it's a long weekend coming up this weekend, so that'll be nice. You know, the NBA conference finals are in full motion, but let's talk about coaches and coaching hires, because that right now is such a hot topic. And Nick Nurse apparently is set to meet with the Philadelphia 76ers, everybody. My oh my, how ironic would that be? Nick Nurse coaching one of the Raptors' biggest rivals, coaching a guy who he brought to tears in Game 7 of the 2019 playoffs, I'm sure, as you guys all will remember. A team now that will be without James Harden, as it looks like reports are also indicating that James Harden is going to go back to Houston to play for the Houston Rockets. I don't know how he and Ime Udoka are really going to work out, but James Harden is set to go back to Houston. But let's stick with Nick Nurse and the Philadelphia 76ers that are set to meet next week. Karina, let's start out with you. What are your initial thoughts on this, and can Nick Nurse be a good fit with Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers?
That's the thing. My initial gut feeling is, like, I don't know if him and Embiid would actually be able to work together in a locker room. If we're looking at what happened with the Raptors now, mm-hmm. we saw that egos clashed between Nick Nurse and the Raptors. And I think with the comments that Joel Embiid has made about Nick Nurse in the past, it would be a very awkward locker room to me if Nick Nurse were able to jump in there and start being head coach. Number two, I think if he were to get hired in Philly, mm-hmm. any expectations of them playing their young guys, out the window.
Yeah, I mean, like, Tyrese Maxey is a younger player, but he's well-established now in the NBA. I actually see this as a good thing for the Philadelphia 76ers and a smart hire for the Philadelphia 76ers, because Nick Nurse knows how to play. It'd be a fresh start for him, fresh start for the 76ers. Yep. They won't have all that Doc Rivers bad luggage with them with the playoff failure. Exactly. Yeah. Nick Nurse is the guy that pushes his star players to the max. Do you think that he could get the even more out of Joel Embiid, a guy we saw win MVP this year and should have won last year too?
I think so. Mm-hmm. First of all, he would play him a lot more.
Did you notice how he snuck in the should have won last year too?
Oh wait, Did you hear this?
Ladies and gentlemen, when you're slick like me, you can get away with a whole lot of things.
Please.
Not when I'm sitting here.
Oh please, but no, I disagree with that. Jokic, the rightful MVP last year, but yeah, I think, like, first of all, he'd give Embiid so many minutes, mm-hmm. right? Because he loves the minutes thing. We've seen it here in Toronto with the stars. He trusts the stars only. But at the same time, I would say the Sixers are a deeper team than the Raptors, just looking at both rosters. So he wouldn't have to give 40-plus minutes to every single starter every single night.
He probably will.
But I just, like Karina said, I don't really see it, man. And it's not because I don't want him there, because I have, you know, mm-hmm. some agendas against the Sixers at times, being a Raptors
fan.
But I don't see it, man. And the other thing that was surprising to me, I've seen the reports saying that they didn't talk to Embiid before getting rid of Doc. And he and Doc were really close.
Yeah.
That, to me, is kind of alarming. I think you got to at least speak to your MVP player, right? About a firing of your head coach. And I get it. Yeah. It was probably time to do so. I'm not shocked by it, but I would have the conversation. No,
yeah, but here's the weird thing with that whole Philly Doc situation. Like, reports started coming out that it was James Harden was pushing it, but now today comes out that James Harden wants to go back to Houston, which has been there for this entire year. So I don't know how much stock to really take in it. But look, Joel Embiid did say last year, he's a great coach, obviously, what he's been able to accomplish. I've always been a big fan of him. But he also said that I told him to respectfully stop bitching in the playoffs last year. But look, I think Nick Nurse and Joel Embiid could work very well. I think these two need each other. I think it might be a perfect marriage and harmony for these two.
I can fix him.
No, exactly, because Joel Embiid is at that point in his career now where he needs to win. He needs to win.
I don't disagree with
he
that.
He needs to have playoff success.
I'm looking at the next 2 years for
exactly.
the Sixers. That's the window
exactly.
of this
And Nick Nurse
thing.
Needs to repair whatever
image.
Lasting, lingering, taste was his time
think
in Toronto.
He's not, okay, people still think he's a good coach,
but
it's been a minute since
they think he's more, he cares more about stopping the other team's best player than winning games, right? So I think him in Philly, right, and him with Joel Embiid, two guys that need to prove that, hey, we need to win and be successful. Otherwise, the Nick Nurse won Coach of the Year, but that's 3 years ago, right? Joel Embiid was the MVP this year, but look what happened in Game 7 in Boston, right? These guys need each other, I think, and I believe if Nick Nurse can get it in there, talk to Joel Embiid, and they can hash out whatever they have. I think there's respect from both sides there. And I think Nick Nurse can really, really sink his teeth into this Philadelphia team and get them to play, especially the best players, basketball, and be committed. Because you saw that in Toronto. You saw his best players, not so much this year, but years previously, right? Like, look at that job he did the season after they won the title, after they lost Kawhi Leonard, right? That was a coaching masterclass. He had his best players playing their best basketball. He helped Fred VanVleet become an all-star. Pascal Siakam, an all-NBA player. OG Anunoby, an all-defensive player. I know a lot of it's on the players and the hard work they put in the offseason, but Nick Nurse has something to do with that as well. Right. And I believe that if Nick Nurse goes to Philly, you're going to see a more committed, potentially, Joel Embiid. You're going to see a more defensive responsibly Tyrese Maxey, a Tobias Harris. So I think Nick Nurse and Philly could be very successful.
What happens if James Harden walks?
That's fine. I don't think James Harden and Nick Nurse were going to mesh anyway. I don't think James Harden
in terms of like
and
their
Ime
roster,
Udoka
though,
would mesh anyway.
In terms of their roster, though, like what does that do for the 76ers' success?
It frees up a lot of money to get some other guard help, right? Whether they want to get
they better hit on Portland.
We'll get this guy's been cheating on the rundown because we're going to switch to Portland in a second. But I think whatever happens with James Harden, right, it frees up some money for the 76ers to, A, maybe give Tyrese Maxey a larger on role handling the ball, right? Or do they go out there and maybe look at a Fred VanVleet? Or do they look at another guard out there, right, that's a free agent guard? Or do they go via trade? Which
I feel like you've brought up Fred VanVleet following Nick Nurse on the show.
That's
like
what
three times.
I feel like Phoenix would be the better option
said
for
that
Nick Nurse. I think that's more of an option or a better option for Nick Nurse.
We'll
I think
see.
He would fit there.
We'll see. Again, it's just a meeting. We're getting way too down the line. But I think it's definitely something there. But now, speaking of else, is something that's going on. The NBA draft lottery went down a couple days ago. We did talk about that. The Portland Trailblazers are apparently open for business, according to Chris Haynes of Bleacher Report. He had this to say in an article. The Trailblazers, of course, are in an effort to continue building a contending roster around its superstar. He said star. I'm going to say superstar. Damian Lillard, and is expected to make the pick available for trade. My, oh my, everybody.
Did you see Dame tweeting over the weekend?
Yes,
or
Dame
tweeting.
He's trolling.
He's just trolling. It's fine. He's not going anywhere. But I want to say this, guys. I've seen a lot of rumors on Twitter of Raptors fans and people out there saying, oh, we could just trade Pascal for the third overall pick. No, it's going to be Pascal plus something, right? Or Pascal plus, or it's going to be a much bigger trade, right? What do you guys think? Pascal Siak, I've seen only OG Anunoby's name bandied about with the Portland Trailblazers. I'm going to paint the picture for you guys, okay? I'm going to paint this picture.
Paint it on the canvas.
Third overall pick. Mm. Anthony Simons, Naz Little. Throw in another. Maybe. And you're not going to get. I don't know if you're going to get Shaedon Sharpe.
Nah, I doubt it.
But if you can get Anthony Simons, the third overall pick, Naz Little for Pascal Siakam, I'm taking that in a heartbeat.
Sorry, Karina, I don't know your answer, but I'm doing it as well. Because I've seen it with Pascal Siakam, man. He's a good player. I like Pascal. I do. He's an all-star, all-NBA. We've seen it. But when it comes to getting over that hump, being a contender in the Eastern Conference, looking across the board in the Eastern Conference, when you have Pascal as your 1A, hey, man, we've seen what's happened with the Raptors. You can't really go anywhere. So that's why I feel at this point, where are the Raptors going? So many questions this offseason. I'd probably look to get younger. And you get a talented player. You never know if it's going to be Brandon Miller or if it's going to be Scoot. And I would love that to happen for the Toronto Raptors. Scoot and Scotty.
Scoot, Scotty, pick and roll. Woo!
So I would do it.
I'm gonna detach my feelings from this and just say that if I were Portland, I would do that. I would want to get Pascal. if I'm the Raptors, it ultimately depends on, like you kind of said, like what they want to do moving forward.
And the coach.
What the coach, yeah. What their goal is, what they're trying to do. If it happens, it happens. I don't think any of these deals would be bad deals. It's just a matter of like what the reaction might actually be from Raptors fans.
I think it would be mixed emotions because you're already seeing it right now.
So the funny thing, this Bleacher Report article, right? They have a bunch of mock trades post-lottery. There's another trade in here that says Fred VanVleet sign and trade to the Washington Wizards for Daniel Gafford, Johnny Davis, Isaiah Todd, and the number 8 overall pick, right? I'm just saying, like, look. So here's the Siakam one that Bleach Report predicted, right? It was Anthony Simons, Naz Little, Keon Johnson, the number 3 overall pick for Pascal Siakam. But here's the thing, right? The Blazers are in a position right now where they need to make Damian Lillard happy, right?
Yeah.
Does acquiring another former All-Star like Pascal Siakam make him happy? I would think so.
Yeah.
Right? Pascal puts up, 24 last year? 24 points a game?
That, yeah.
You pair him with, again, him and Dame with, you know, if they can get Jeremy Grant back. If they get Siakam, they're probably not going to get Jeremy Grant back. But I'm very intrigued to see what the Raptors will do because it's very evident that going younger is important, right? Mm-hmm. Going younger and developing young players is something that Masai Ujiri wants. He wants to play a more up-tempo brand of basketball. He wants to play more exciting basketball. And as Jelani said, right, like we saw what Pascal Siakam was as your best player. Is that what you're striving to become? And I get it, a lot of fans and stuff like that out there love Pascal Siakam. They want to hold on to him because he won most improved player once and he helped win a championship.
Look, I like him a lot, but
he's just not that.
You got to be real about it.
But you got to be realistic, right? This is a business. This is about winning. This is about improving the Toronto Raptors and creating sustainable success for the Toronto Raptors, right? Pascal Siakam as your best player on the Toronto Raptors is nothing sustainable for success whatsoever. And the proof is in the pudding. We've seen that the last couple of years. Sure. What has that gotten you? Nothing, right? And I think it's time. If you can get a guy like Scoot Henderson or even Brandon Miller, higher ceiling, right? High talent, guys that could create their own shot. Scoot Henderson right now could roll in the NBA and probably score 20 points, right? And he's only going to get better. And he's younger. He fits the mold with what Scotty Barnes is. And I think that right there is something the Raptors need to look at because you can't be running this back, keep on running this back.
You can't, no.
So.
But you'd keep OG then.
I'd trade him too. I trade them all, to be honest with you. If I'm the Toronto Raptors,
Portland wanted to get OG.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd need more then.
For what?
Because the original trade offer.
Yeah,
it's just
included Siakam. If you wanted to include OG Pascal, then it's going to be an even bigger deal. You're going to need even more, right? Yeah. You might even need to bring a third team in to help split the assets around. But if I'm the Toronto Raptors, everybody is on the table to be moved here. That's under contract, other than Scotty Barnes, right? Whether that's OG Pascal, Fred's going to be a free agent. He can determine where he wants to go. Gary Trent Jr., right? That to me is where the Raptors are. Everything and every stone must be turned over and see what's out there.
And
right?
the league knows what's going on in Toronto.
Exactly.
They know that these guys are available. They know that they're good players available, so you never know what's going to happen.
Now, I want to finish off on a little bit more of a different topic. No rumors or anything like that. So we all know about Ja Morant. We don't want to dive into all the issues and stuff like that about, you know, the flash and the gun. There's no suspension yet, but we expect it's going to be a big one. But I want to ask you guys this question. I've been listening to a lot of stuff talking about how the NBA needs to have veteran leadership in the locker room because you get these guys coming 19, 20 years old, given hundreds of millions of dollars, and they don't know how to be a true pro. And Charles Barkley, I was into a podcast with him, and he was saying that when he came in the league, Dr. J and Moses Malone basically saved his career. They helped him get in shape. They taught him how to dress properly. They taught him how to deal with the media. And I think that right now, especially in the NBA, where these guys are put in positions where they are everywhere, right? You can't... Everybody knows who Ja Morant is. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows who Jason Tatum is, Luka Doncic, right? They are not just North American superstars, but they're global superstars, right? Do you guys think that, and I'll start with you first, Jelani, do you think that the NBA needs to have, I don't know how you make it mandatory, but a guy, just a player who's had a certain number of games, but a veteran leader in each locker room, like a guy like Udonis Haslem or whomever, that guy that, you know, you're not going to notice what he does on the court, but in the locker room and, you know, away from the court, he's going to teach the young guys how to be a pro, how to act responsibly as an adult.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And you mentioned Haslem. That's a great example. You could even look like Iguodala. Mm-hmm. I know he got hurt, but he became like a player coach, essentially, right? And he was helping out the younger guys on that Warriors squad. And you see it all the time. These guys talk about having a vet when they get in the league. Lou Williams. He looked up to Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. Allen Iverson took him under his wing. He used to boss him around and stuff like that. But he showed him the ropes. And I think that's very important. Right now in Memphis, almost said Minnesota. In Memphis.
Minnesota needs some leadership too.
They kind of do too. Yeah. But in Memphis. Because
we were talking about the Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah, right. I think so. Yeah. That's right. Block one. But in Memphis, you see kind of a lack of vets. I know that Steven Adams is there. But do they really listen to bro? No, they don't. Let's just be real. And I think that's been a problem there. Taylor Jenkins, respected coach as well. But how much of a voice does he have there? Because we saw it throughout the year.
He's also young.
Yeah, he's a younger coach. So throughout the year, we saw issues with the Grizzlies specifically in terms of just being immature. And Ja Morant, I mean, he's such a great player. He is a superstar player. And the hope is moving forward that he's going to mature. But again, just talking about what Memphis has, do they have that guy in the locker room that he will look up to and respect? I don't know. This is not the same Memphis team from a decade ago that had those guys. Conley would have been perfect for a guy like Ja, right? They don't have him. Marc Gasol's not there. Zebo's not there anymore. Tony Allen's not there anymore. So it's a different look for sure.
I think making it mandatory is a bit tricky where like you get into the issues of like, okay, so then you're taking away that one roster spot that maybe could be given to somebody else just to have an older guy.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you create another position that is kind of maybe like a player coach type of situation where you bring someone in solely for that reason to be the veteran presence, then maybe it could like work that way. But I agree with the overall sentiment that there should be a veteran in those locker rooms. I think we've seen this theme kind of repeatedly throughout the season where teams need leadership. There's a lot of personalities on every team. They all need to be managed. And that is just as important as how talented you are.
Yeah, I know. You look at the last four teams in the conference finals right now, right? You talk about they have veteran leadership throughout across the board. Of course, LeBron James, right? Probably if not the second or first best player of all time, right? Then you got in Denver.
I was going to say the veteran.
He is the veteran example. He's the gold standard. But you also got other vets through. AD's been a lot there in the league for a minute and stuff like that. But, you know, then you got Miami. Of course, Udonis Haslem, Jimmy Butler, the whole Heat culture. But Kyle Lowry, right? In Boston, again, they're young. But, you know, you have a guy like Al Horford who's been in the league for a while, right? Yep. Even, you know, Blake Griffin for whatever, you know, he's here for. But I would say more so Al Horford.
Get well soon, Nor. Shout out Blake Griffin.
And then, you know, even Denver Mike Malone. Jeff Green, right? They got Mike Malone there, who I think is a great leader as a coach. So you look at the success of the league, right? You need, you know, people that are well respected and that players will listen to and resonate with. And I think that's something that's very important. Hell, look at the Charlotte Hornets, right? They need a veteran.
They've been struggling for that.
Yeah, they need a veteran leader. So that is something that I think is very interesting. I think Adam Silver kind of has to look at how they can, you know, make sure that players have somebody to go to. Because it's, you know, with coaches, you can't really resonate with some coaches or front office. So having a player there that you can talk to and a guy that, or the person that locker room, excuse me, that can, you know, be a leader and just, you know, help these young guys out. So that would be something that we were looking forward to. Well, we're also looking forward to a lot of basketball this
weekend. I'm looking forward to the right camera.
Yes, every camera. Anyway, this has been Hoop Talks. We'll be back on Wednesday because it's a holiday on Monday. Take care.
Let's go.